You're listening to Story, a detective story, adapted from a story titled Story, a Detective Story by Philip Ventrella, who wrote the story. And now, Chapter 1. Chapter 1 begins.
I was in my office, working one hot August afternoon. As I glanced around the room, I could see objects that described my personality, painting a picture of a man who was mostly a stereotype, yet having a few quirks to give him a slightly distinct personality. There will be a lot more art to me later, but not until the character development chapter. I glanced at my watch to indicate that nothing was going on in the office or my life. That's when a pot walked in. Looking up, I saw the most ravishing beauty I'd ever seen since the story started nearly two paragraphs ago. She walked up to my desk and dropped a very large plot device on a stack of papers. What's this about, Toots?
That's for you to find out. But don't worry. It'll only take 8 chapters to do it, and we'll also have a gratuitous sex scene in chapter 3.
I swallowed hard. Although she hadn't been described properly yet, I could tell that she was written to be a ferocious lover. I prayed that the reader would skip to chapter 3, or at least skim. All right, Toots, this plot device is interesting enough to keep me going. I'll check it out.
You do that.
With a wink and a smile, she quickly showed me some of her foreshadowing and left. I think she liked me. I mopped the sweat from my forehead. Was it hot in here, or was it just the writer's description? I picked up the plot device and studied it. Too vague to figure out. What I needed now was an inexplicable coincidence to reveal more of the plot. The phone rang.
Meet me at the generic bar on the corner. I understand you have a plot device. I think I might be able to help.
This was my big break. I excitedly grabbed my hat and opened the door to exit. I stopped to pause. Although I had gotten a lead in this case, I realized that the chapter was ending, and there had to be some dramatic line to set the mood of impending doom. I had no idea how right I was.
Chapter 2, a new chapter.
I walked into the generic bar and looked around. The place was filled with background characters adding to the mood, but doing very little to advance the plot.
I understand you have a plot device.
I spun around and came face to face with a minor but important character. We exchanged smiles, indicating that we'd known each other for a while. It was a good friend of mine who often helped me out of many plot holes.
I haven't much time, so let me tell you what I know.
The smile faded from my face. I realized that we have started a conversation without any major descriptions of his character. That meant that his comment about not having much time was a prophetically ironic statement. He was in danger.
That lady who gave you the plot device, she's a big boss's gal. I think it might be a trap.
I wanted to warn my friend that he was in danger. But I was too late. I held him in my arms to catch his final words.
Take this. It's a cryptic clue.
I took the cryptic clue as his body slid lifelessly to the floor. At last, I thought, I have motivation. I'm past the point of no return as well. I looked out the window and realized the chapter was coming to an end. I knew there had to be a puzzling question to add suspense to the end of the chapter. But what was it? What was it?
Chapter 3. The character builds.
I sped down the highway in my character-building car, the kind of car you would expect me to drive. As I was driving, I was listening to some music that indicated that I had a softer side and wasn't all work. I then held up a picture of my dearly departed friend and shed a tear. I was gaining dimension every second. As my car raced forward, I opened my wallet and stared at a clipping from the paper.
Good family cop. Gunned down by mysterious big boss.
My father's picture showed beneath. I gritted my teeth and continued forward. Although it was completely unfeasible that my father's murderer and the person behind the murder of the friend were one and the same, I was getting the suspicion that this was a distinct possibility. After all, I was in the third chapter and there wasn't much else to go on. I pulled my car up to the side of my office building and hopped out. Entering my building, I spied my trumpet on its stand. I picked it up and started to play in a manner that would imply that I practiced frequently. My mom wanted me to play the trumpet. Builds character, she said. I sadly put down the trumpet and paused dramatically. I reached into my pocket and fished out the cryptic clue my friend had given me. It meant something, but what?
Maybe I can shed a little light on that subject.
It was her, the woman from Chapter 1.
But first, how about a little flashback?
I have to admit that I've never really been into flashbacks. I was more of a symbolism kind of guy. But the way she flashed back fleshed out her character so perfectly. I started to have my doubts about my literary narrative style choices.
So you see, that's why I came to see you.
I had to admit, she really built her character well. Then she leaned over and gave me a soft kiss. More foreshadowing?
No, more like establishing sexual tension.
Finally, the moment I've been waiting for. Like a lion stalking his prey, I started the sex scene with thinly veiled similes. Before I knew it, she had my detective novel-sized descriptions in her hand, tantalizing the reader with the creative euphemisms for body parts and actions. The sex scene went on so long it almost became uncomfortable. And then just when I thought I was out of euphemisms, we both crashed like hot Caribbean waves of passion to a final, climaxing paragraph. I wanted her to stay for a few more paragraphs, but she insisted on leaving. She put on her jacket and opened the door.
And now, I've got to go before the big boss knows I'm gone.
But what about the cryptic clue?
It goes with the plot device.
With a nervous smile, she darted out the door. I looked at the plot device still sitting on my desk. All of a sudden, the cryptic clue made more sense.
Chapter 4, Action Without Character.
Skipping directly to the action sequence, I found myself outside the office of the big boss.
So you want to see the big boss? Nobody gets to see the big boss.
And with that, we had a fight sequence, which I naturally won through cleverness and luck. As I stepped over the unconscious body, I said a witty pun relating to the manner in which I defeated him so cleverly.
You are most persistent, detective, and that is why I set this trap. And I have my assistant, the lady from Chapter 1, to thank.
I looked behind the big boss and Spider. He apparently didn't know about Chapter 3. What a fool I was to be trapped so easily. I wanted to say something to mislead the reader, but the big boss cut me off.
And now, it's time to meet your doom.
Suddenly, before I could react, the chapter ended.
Chapter 5, The Plot Revealed.
When Chapter 5 began, I was in a dangerous predicament.
You see, you are in a dangerous predicament, and it's obvious that it will be eventually fatal, unless you produce an escape.
I looked around the room, but had no clue to an escape. Except for a plate of red herring next to the controls of the predicament. If I could only reach the herring.
Now, my enemy, it is time for me to reveal my evil plan. You see, the plot device and the cryptic clue are only part of the puzzle. I will now add new information to turn it into a sinister plan.
With that, he revealed a sinister plan.
Now, all that's left to do is implement the plan, and the only way the sinister plan can be stopped is by you, since you are now familiar with it. That is why you must be eliminated. As you can see, you are in a dangerous predicament. If you do not get out of it in 20 minutes, it will kill you. I would love to stick around and see your demise, but for some odd, inexplicable reason, I can't hang out for 20 minutes. And I don't see a need just to kill you right now.
I wanted to say something clever, but all that came out was, I'll get you for this. Damn writers.
You can't get me.
He obviously didn't know about Chapter 7.
And if you try, I'll kill you. Just like I killed your father.
Now I had even more motivation. And when the big boss meets his untimely demise, then the reader will be sympathetic.
And now it is time to say something that I think is clever, but only reveals my lack of intelligence and humor.
He turned to exit, but not before picking up the plate of red herring. I was left alone. The chapter was coming to a close, and there were no obvious signs of escape.
Chapter 6, The Escape.
With the red herring gone, my only chance for escape was if I could reach the Deus Ex Machina in my pocket. Even though I tried valiantly, I ultimately failed in order to build suspense.
I'm not a Deus Ex Machina, but I'm close. Although you didn't expect me, I did show some foreshadowing. And now it's time for me to reveal that I'm really on your side, and I want to take down the big boss, too, because he killed someone close to me as well.
She spent a few minutes building her character, and then she gave me a kiss. As nice as it was, I had to make a witty comment about getting me out of the dangerous predicament I was in. Luckily, she was able to pull out a timely escape right when the dangerous predicament went off. We both expelled a sigh of relief. Hey, Toots, I think it's time for a scene change and a climax. So I took her hand and exited, fully aware of what had to be done in the next chapter.
Chapter 7, The Climax.
We raced to the scene of the sinister plot as fast as we could. As I jumped out of my car, I spied the big boss and turned to face me.
So, you escaped from my dangerous predicament. I will be more careful now.
With that, he ordered his henchmen to attack me. After a long and precarious battle, I end up killing them in gruesome yet clever and sometimes humorous ways. I looked up at the big boss when I noticed that he had the lady in his clutches.
This is the part where it seems like all is lost, and that you've lost.
It was risky, but I only had one shot. Using a combination of skill, cleverness, and luck, I was able to kill the big boss, save the girl, and stop the sinister plan all at the same time. As I looked down at the big boss's body, I couldn't help notice the giant denouement that his death left. The girl and I exchanged knowing glances and left the chapter.
Chapter 8, Necessary Epilogue.
When we were finally alone back in my office, we embraced. Well, Toots, I guess all that's left is to wrap things up with a storyline. I reviewed how everything tied together and how killing the big boss tied up a lot of storylines and motivations. When I finished, I noticed that Toots had a curious look on her face.
You forgot one thing.
I was puzzled. Here we are at the end of the story with only a few more lines to go. What else was left? Suddenly, before I could have even guessed it was coming, I was hit with a surprise ending.
See you in the sequel.
And with that, she walked out the door, leaving me, and hopefully the readers, wanting more.
The end!
Story, a detective story, featured John Christopher as the narrator, Ralph Scott as the detective, Kathleen Mortensen as Toots, Thomas Wilson as the friend, Ian Morris as the big boss, Dave Murphy as the bodyguard. Story, a detective story, was written by Philip Ventrella. The play was produced by Ralph Scott, directed by Joe Peer, recording engineer Mark Hinman, post-production supervisor John Beal. The play was recorded at KPCA Studios, Petaluma, California. This has been a presentation of the Petaluma Radio Players. I'm your announcer, Cheryl Halling. Copyright 2017, the Petaluma Radio Players, PetalumaRadioPlayers.com.
Like talking.